Happy Easter. It is so good to be here today. Today we come to celebrate, to bow before the one who willingly suffered and died for us. We worship God who allowed his own Son, Jesus Christ, to become human, to walk among us. And our whole understanding of sacrifice and love comes from the ultimate example of God, who loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. But he didn't stop there. Today we worship him not just because he died, but because he rose. Our God displayed the greatest power by leaving the grave behind, by conquering those terrible enemies of ours called Satan and death. And our hearts leap for joy today because we serve a risen Savior. This is Easter, a day when our alleluias, which were stifled during Lent, come bursting forth in our songs. Come and raise your voices, because Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia.
Thank you.
after the Sabbath. At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him.
Thank you.
people of the risen Savior, may you receive His blessing this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from His only risen Son, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please pass on an Easter greeting to your neighbors? We have for weeks been sitting in the season of Lent. We have been looking together at what it means to live in the wilderness, those dry and desolate times of life. But today we come out of the wilderness. We are brought into a place where we are given water to drink, where our souls are satisfied in ways that we couldn't find it any other way. We come together to celebrate, no longer to mourn. The contrast between these two is so wide that today we're going to look at what that is. To look at the difference between the darkness of Good Friday and the bright and glorious Easter. We do that this morning by turning into God's Word once again, looking at Matthew chapter 28. And I remind you that Luke 18. That though you hear my voice, these are the very words of God. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. This is God's word for us this morning. We are third day people. Have you ever heard that before? Do you have any idea what I mean by that? Well, let me explain a little bit. Someone recently shared with me a book by John Ortberg called "Who Is This Man?" And in this book, he shares his discovery of the third day experiences in the Bible. I'm guessing that most of us don't even realize the number of times that Scripture talks about the third day. And most likely, when we're thinking of the third day, we're thinking of the New Testament, and in particular, Easter, the third day. But you would be amazed how many times, even in the Old Testament, it mentions the third day. Over and over again, God refers to things that happened on the third day. When Abram is afraid that he's going to have to sacrifice his son on the third day, God reveals to him the sacrifice that will take his son's place. Joseph's brothers are put in prison, and on the third day, they are released. On the third day, Pharaoh also releases the cupbearer and the baker. The Israelite spies are told by Rahab to hide from their enemies and that they will be safe on the third day. When Esther hears that her people are going to be killed, she goes away to fast and pray. And finally, on the third day, the king invites her in. On the third day, God came down onto Mount Sinai with thunder and lightning, displaying his power. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And these are just some of the examples of the scriptures mentioning things that happened on the third day. The first day comes before the third day, though. In Luke 18, verse 32, it talks about the first day, where Jesus says he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and even kill him. Before the third day comes, there must be the first day. There's a pattern here that we see throughout Scripture that starts with this first day. And this is the day when the problem occurs, when you run into trouble. It's the day when things make a turn for the worse. It might be when you find out you have a disease, or when you get in a car accident. It could be when you lose your job, or when you discover that your spouse has been cheating on you. It could be when your house burns down, or so many other things. These are terrible days. They are reminders of that first terrible day that we have remembered this past week. The day that we refer to as Good Friday. But yet, in so many ways, it doesn't feel good. Because it's the day when we witness that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us. The day when it became final because he was put in the tomb. And we know what that means when you put someone into the tomb. On that dreadful day, we want to scream out and say, "No, this is wrong. This can't be happening. That's my Savior up there. He's not supposed to be on the cross. I'm the one that's supposed to be there." And as we witness the death of the Son of God, our hearts burst with sorrow, knowing that he is dying because of my sins. These first days bring us to our knees. They knock us down like a blade of grass trying to stand up against hurricane force winds. This is when we realize how helpless and weak we really are. And then the first day turns into the second day. And the second day really isn't much better. That terrible event that happened and the results of it begin to sink in. We begin feeling this sense of finality, just as those disciples did when they realized that Jesus was really dead. It is that time when you move from being numb to feeling that heaviness. all of the disciples' hopes and dreams that hung on this great rabbi that they had been following has been dashed to pieces. And more than that, they have even been fearing for their lives. Like lost children, they huddled together, not knowing what to do next. Because they had been spending their last years following Jesus. And now he was gone. And unfortunately, these second days for us can sometimes last a lifetime. They can cause us to sink into depression, feeling like there's no hope. We don't know if or when this will ever pass. Maybe we have to live with this pain as long as we are here on this earth. As much as we cry out to God to take it away, He might tell us that this is a thorn in the flesh that we must live with. And as we've gone through Lent, we've talked about those wilderness experiences. They're days when we are dry, feeling alone and weak. It's those days when it seems like there is no hope and no one cares. When we wonder if God is even listening to us. Creation is living in the second day. The tragic event of sin entered the world on the first day. And this was when everything fell apart. Our relationship with our Creator was broken, and we received our punishment. But from that time on, we've been living in the second day. Wars, earthquakes, hurricanes, cheating, greed, pride, hatred, and self-centeredness are all around us. The news seems to get worse every day. From starvation in some parts of the world to obesity in the other. There are groups like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Boko Haram. There's human trafficking, drugs, and abuse. We have pornography, shootings, and the splintering of the church. And as we live in this second day, it can feel like it will never end. For the disciples, this is what they felt on their Sabbath day. Jesus was dead. There was no question about it. And now they had to figure out how would they ever go on. What's the point of going on if he's dead? But that isn't where the story ends. This isn't where it stops. Just like we know that there will be a third day for the world when Christ will come again, this was the third day when Christ arose. With it came something so miraculous that Thomas found it too hard to even believe unless he saw it with his own eyes. On that third day, life sprang forth where there was death. A new day arrived, and with it came the realization that nothing can stop God. Nothing will ever stand in His way. As children of the risen King, we receive this new life. We are defined by the greatest gift ever given, that of eternal life. Just as Jesus went from death on the first day to life on the third, so we who were once dead because of our sins are now alive. We are third day people. And there's a huge difference between the first day and the third day. We are marked by life, by the power of God, by hope that never dies. As followers of Christ, we come up out of the water of baptism, marked as one of those who has been lifted and saved. Tony Campolo in his book, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming," shares this incredible contrast between the first and the third days. In the last chapter of that book, he shares about a time in which they had a preach-off. They had preachers who would almost like battle against each other. One after the other would come out and try to outdo the next. Tony Campolo preached his sermon. And he sat down feeling so good, because the people were moved. They were shouting their amens and hallelujahs. And as he sat down next to his pastor, he looked over and he said, "Try to outdo that." And his pastor got up. And here is part of the message that he preached. It's Friday. Jesus is arrested in the garden when he was praying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are hiding and Peter's denying that he knows the Lord. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is standing before the high priest of Israel, silent as a lamb before the slaughter. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Jesus is beaten, mocked, and spit upon. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Those Roman soldiers are flogging our Lord, opening up wounds in his flesh. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Son of Man stands firm as they press the crown of thorns onto his head. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See him walking to Calvary, the blood dripping from his body. See the cross crashing down on his back as he stumbles on the beneath the load. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See those Roman soldiers driving the nails into his feet and hands. Hear my Jesus cry, "Why have you forsaken me?" It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The sky grows dark. The earth begins to tremble. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Holy God, who will not abide with sin, pours out his wrath on that perfect sacrificial lamb who cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What a horrible cry. But Sunday's coming. And on that horrible day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Christ, the Lord of glory, the only begotten Son of God, the perfect man, died on the cross of Calvary. Satan thought that he had won the victory. Surely he had destroyed the Son of God on the cross. Finally, he had disproved the prophecies of old. But that was Friday. Now, it's Sunday. And just about dawn on the first day of the week, there was a great earthquake. But that wasn't the only thing that was shaking, because now it's Sunday. And the angel of the Lord is coming down from heaven and rolling the stone away from the door of the tomb. Yes, it's Sunday, and an angel of the Lord is sitting on that stone, and guards posted at the tomb to keep the body from disappearing were shaking in their boots, because it's Sunday, and the lamb that was silent before the slaughter is now the resurrected lion of the tribe of Judah. "For he is not here," the angel says. "He is risen indeed." It's Sunday. And the crucified and resurrected Christ has defeated sin and death and hell and Satan and the grave. It's Sunday, and now everything has changed. It is the sign of God's grace poured out on all who would look at him as the crucified Lamb of Calvary. Grace freely given to all who would believe in Him as our Savior. The one who died at Calvary was buried and now rose again. All because it's Sunday. And Sunday is our day. It's the day when everything changed. The day when the most horrific event, that first day, turned into the most glorious hope on the third. Hope lives on in us. Uncontainable joy shines on us. And unlimited love is given to us on the third day. We are third day people. Join with me in prayer. O Lord our God, the most powerful God, the most gracious and loving God. As we sit here this morning, Father, there are some among us who have just experienced the first day. Those who have had something terrible just happen to them, but they're still feeling numb from it. There are some who have walked into the second day and are now realizing the significance of what has happened. Father, we pray for those who are dealing with this, who are feeling like they are sunk down and there's no way out, who are struggling to find enough hope that this will turn out okay, that You somehow will work a wonder and bring them up out of this, but they feel like right now there's no way. Lord, we ask that You would give them all that they need, that You would hold their faith strong and their hope secure, that You would remind them that they are forever in Your hands and You will never let them go. But we thank You most of all for the third day, for that day when Jesus Christ rose again, that day in which we celebrate life, that we realize the great gift that You have given to us, that You have opened up the doors of heaven so that we who do not deserve it may walk through. Lord, thank You for the third day. Thank You for the hope that comes with it. Thank You for the joy. Thank You for all that You have given to us through the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that we may be third day people. That we may be people who bring this out with us as we work and play, as we talk, as we go about all of our activities. Lord, may our schedules be full of third days. That we will realize who You are and give You praise. That we will see Your mighty acts and know that You are truly God. Thank You, Lord, for the third day. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If any of you would love to join with these great singers, you are welcome to do so in just a moment. And you can join with them in singing the Hallelujah Chorus. They would love to have you, especially a few more men would help. So please, if you're willing, as soon as I am done, get up and come and join this choir. And one more reminder to you that as you leave here, please go down and find a slot where you are willing to pray on Tuesday. You know, as Christ burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. May that same Christ who lives forever and is a source of our new life keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. And may you stand and receive this blessing as you go. May the God of peace, who raised to the life the great shepherd of the sheep, make you ready to do his will in every good thing. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Alleluia and amen.